Recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Darren. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCC Africa Members Call on the 2nd of October 2017. And on the call, we have Adam Amat Dongos, Aiden Ferdelin, Benjamin Akimoyoje, Bocheta Tarifa, Pharrell Foley, Ines Mbede, Chris Steven, Onika Omuka, Remy Mweke, Wisdom Donko, Hanan Hatib, and from staff we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. On the phone bridge, you also have Bram Fudzulani, Akin Remy Peter Taiwo, and Asine Tongali. Thank you very much, and over to you, Ines.
Thank you very much, Mariam. Can you show us the agenda, please? So for our agenda for today's webinar, we have first introducing NCC, who we are, what we do, how to get involved. Then we will have African voices in the DNS and within ICANN with Arsène Tongali. We'll have access and education with Wisdom Donker and Onika Makwaka on top level analysis of Africa's affordable report. And I'll be speaking about ICT implementation and education and SDGs. And the final part would be for Q&As and suggestions for a way forward. Could you please, Mariam, show my presentation on NCC? This is on education, the first presentation on NCC. Maria?
Hi, Nesbitt. Can you tell me what the title is?
It's Introduction of NCC, and I sent it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Before this. And I'll send it again right now.
Thank you, Anna.
Hi, Arsène. Hi, everyone. Hi, Hanan and Hussein. Thank you for joining. Anika, thank you for joining, all of you. So the upload is in progress. Thank you for a great attendance, and we were just like at the beginning of the webinar. Okay, thank you very much, Mariam. So we'll be speaking about the membership. Let's move to the next slide, please. So where is NCC in the ICANN governance system? So first, we are a constituency. This seems obvious, but most of the people, they tend to confuse us sometimes with at-large because we are both focusing on civil society and non-commercial interests. We are a stakeholder group, the non-commercial stakeholder group. In the non-commercial stakeholder group, NCSG, we contribute to ICANN policy through various ways, mainly through policy statements, through our PC, the policy committee, policy-making groups, and we run for elections to become counselors at the generic name supporting organization, GNSO, and you have been participating recently to the election of your GNSO counselors. Next slide, please. So find NCUC, sorry, there should be a, next please. Okay, the African regional perspective. How can NCUC address the African non-commercial users' rights in domain name? Next slide. So first, I had a look at the African DNS market study, and I've tried to focus on the issues of this study. So first, the first problem I have noticed and that I raised at ICANN 59 in Johannesburg was the methodology. Indeed, there was a response rate of 22% on this DNS market study of a total of 308 questionnaires. So completed by 209 targeted respondents. So basing a whole African DNS market study on just 22% of the responses was for me a very big issue in methodology. Second, the African ecosystem. So we have access first and foremost, and we were gonna be speaking about that later on. We have Africa, the problem is lagging behind other regions in relation to internet access, with an average penetration of 28.7% compared to a world average of 50.1%. So we have an obvious lack of infrastructure. We have the internet and connection is is focused on big cities. And we have the problem of high access costs of or affordability that our colleague Onika will be speaking about later on. And we have the very important lack of local content that is in African languages, especially those tribal languages, African languages that we don't really find on the internet. And we have a very small number of ICANN accredited registrars. And this is the link of the African DNS market study. Next slide, please. How can NCC help address those Africa DNS issues? First, by making policies related to generic domain names by advancing these principles. Freedom of expression. Access to knowledge. Privacy and data protection. Human rights. Discussing internet governance issues and development. So these, you would ask, how can I really get involved? Next slide, please. So for example, on access to freedom of expression, we try to solve this tension between freedom of expression and trademark rights. For example, when people want to register what somebody else considers their trademark in a domain name, or the domain name might be used in ways that have nothing to do with the trademark, yet the trademark owners want to protect their marks. So this is what we are working on. Next slide, please. Seeking a balance in domain name policy and dispute resolution. For example, domain name registrants in the region usually suffer from lack of having an effective dispute resolution mechanism in place, and we're suffering from this, especially in Africa. Or, for example, intellectual property lacks enough safeguards like enforced laws, like some countries in Europe and in also Latin America, they do have a Bill of Rights for those internet rights and for intellectual property. Next slide, please. We have privacy, I can, and who is, and we have the professional on who is with us, and it's Aiden. So it would be nice if you would like to add something on who is and how to encourage NCUC members to become more involved and engaged on that topic. Next slide, please. I would like to make it as short as possible to allow to my colleagues. So we have executive committee and points of contact. So we have for, of course, our the chair is Farzane. Currently, for Africa, you have me, Ines Faye. For Europe, you have Tatiana Tropina. For North America, you have Michael Carr-Nicholas. And for Asia Pacific, you have David Cake. So thank you very much, and I'll be ready to answer your questions later on. Thank you. Now we can give the floor to Arsène, if you're ready, whenever you're ready, Arsène. Mariam, can you confirm that Arsène is here and can participate?
Yes, I'm working with the operator.
Thank you.
Line is open. Thank you.
Arsène, we can't hear you. Can you please speak out?
Thank you. Hi, Ines. Unfortunately, we can't.
Hello?
Oh, we can hear you now, Arsène. Thank you.
How can you hear me? Hi everyone.
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Hi, so this is Arsène Tungali. Sorry for the connection issues. So thank you very much, Ines, for organizing this call, and thanks everyone for every one of our African members who were able to join us this evening for this specific call. Thanks, Ines, for the leadership of representing Africa the way you actually did. So I'll be brief. I'll try to be brief today because I'll be touching a bit about African participation. And the purpose of this talk now is just to make sure we encourage ourselves, because as I usually say, we have so many African voices participating in internet governance overall, and within ICANN as well, at various levels, and we should be proud of ourselves for that and for all the great voices that we have in our internet governance communities and within ICANN as well. But of course, there is still a great need for more participation in the DNS policy process as well. Because as we all know, NCUC is a part of ICANN, and our business is dealing with the DNS policy. So all the policies that are governing or that are related to the domain name system. So I would like to start by thanking everyone who were able to participate in the GNSO Council election last time, and thanks everyone for your voices, for raising their voices, and for giving me a seat on the GNSO Council on behalf of the NCSG, which is the group where the NCUC is represented. So thank you very much for that. I would also like to welcome our new members who were recruited from our event, the ICANN meeting, the latest one that was happening in Johannesburg. Thanks to everyone in Ines and the team who were involved in preparing and engaging and bringing so many other new folks, new African voices into the discussion at NCUC, who are now members of the NCUC. So far we have so many people who are supporting so many areas of our work within the NCUC. But the purpose of this short talk now is to encourage more African voices. If you can see, we have so many people who are following, and a very small number who are participating actually in the work the NCUC is doing. And most of the work we're doing is either through the mailing list. So we need to see more African voices participating or commenting or sharing their input on the list as well. And there is another great opportunity, which are those public comments where we actually need so many other voices, so many other African voices. Thanks to, for instance, recently there is our colleague Farrell who helped draft some public comments towards a specific study. So this is like a great example of how Africans can also be part of shaping the policies at the NCUC. So we also have a lot of opportunities when we participate in such meetings. So whenever there is an opportunity or whenever there is a chance to be part of a public meeting, I would like to encourage African voices to stand up and take microphones, approach microphones, and make sure their voices are heard. Because if we don't stand up, if we don't speak for ourselves, no one else will be speaking on our behalf. So this is a way to encourage all the African colleagues who are here to be and be able to take the floor whenever there is any opportunity for speaking. So lastly, I would like to mention very quickly the NCUC onboarding program, which is a great opportunity that was put together by so many of our dear members within NCUC, and which is a great tool. I don't know how many of our members, I don't know how many of our NCUC members from Africa who have registered for the onboarding program. I would like to say this is a great opportunity for many of us to understand and to learn how we can start making our journey within NCUC. Because the onboarding program is a great opportunity, we will be learning the basics about ICANN, but also the basics about NCUC. It is a great opportunity actually to start engaging and be part of the policy development processes at ICANN level. So I will stop by there, and we'll be actually looking forward to any questions. Especially, I'm happy to talk about the Genocide Council, though I will only be seated in the upcoming meeting. So if we get a chance to meet in Abu Dhabi, we'll handle that more about how we can also be part of the Genocide Council and bring African perspective there as well. So, Ines, thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you hear me, Ashen?
Excuse me? Ines, can you hear me?
Can you hear me, Ashen?
Ines? I'm done.
Yes, Ashen. Okay. Ashen, so we have a question from Hussein who is asking. We have the question of access, which presents a giant obstacle to development in Africa. What can NCUC do in order to improve it? Well, currently you have been elected for the as a GNSO counselor. What can a GNSO counselor, for example, do to improve access in developing countries?
Well, thank you very much, Ines, for such a great question. Actually, I don't know whether there is any specific way or any specific. I don't know how to put it. But what I can say is ICANN is actually not directly working on issues of access. Of course, we are much focusing on the DNS policies and in encouraging so many people to use domain names, so many people to start engaging in discussions. Of course, somehow, probably that can help ease the accessibility of people to the internet. But there are so many other organizations outside of ICANN who are working on access on the internet. And so as a general counselor, I believe my responsibility towards access will be probably, because at the general council, we vote on policies that have been developed by the community, by different groups and stakeholder groups. And so whenever there is anything that goes towards supporting access to the internet, I'll be happy to be discussing and be part of supporting those type of initiatives.
Thank you, Arsene. Awesome. Okay, Remy is saying, I also think that accessibility and affordability is largely outcome of economic power per capita. Yes, very true. Thank you. Chris is saying, I would say the governments and ISPs are the key to access and the costs, as Ines suggested. So my opinion is that for the African context as well, we must find some mechanism, some modus operandi, so that we have this multi-stakeholder model that we are exercising and learning at ICANN level. We can kind of create something kind of similar to our African context. What do you think? Do you have an opinion on that?
Sorry, Ines, were you talking to me? I'm sorry, I didn't get most of your remarks.
Asking if we can have some kind of multi-stakeholder model like the one we are exercising at ICANN level, and try to make one some mechanisms and put some mechanisms in place so that we can have such a context in the in Africa where we can discuss things so that not those are from the civil society are speaking by themselves, and those technicians and engineers are speaking by themselves.
Oh yeah, sure, definitely. Actually, the multi-stakeholder model something is actually a model which is much spoken about at the IGF. But it's a process in which I personally believe, because when discussing about internet future or internet issues, we don't need to have just some groups represented on the table, but we need all the voices to be represented. So that's why, for instance, in Africa, the government is tending, you know, to take the power over. Those civil society are making noise, are pushing, but sometimes it looks like we are pushing a civil society, we are pushing against the government. Though it shouldn't be seen that way. The government, civil society, businesses, engineers who are part of the technical community, they are just stakeholders at the same level. But what we see in Africa currently is that the government is trying to take the lead and being on the power, being the boss, and forgetting the input from different other actors. So I believe as civil society participants or members, we shouldn't be threatened by whenever we see the government trying to take the lead. But every one of the stakeholder groups has a responsibility to play in shaping the future of the internet. Most of the time, civil society groups are involved in issues related to human rights. For instance, in Africa, we have issues of access and affordability. We have issues of security, online security, and cyber security. And so we should be keep on pushing on those areas and seek the government to understand our concerns. To finish, in my country, for instance, I'm from the DRC. I'm a member of the civil society and one of the strong voices locally. What we found is that the government, whenever they are deciding on policies, they don't open the floor to other stakeholder groups to come and share their input. So you see at the parliament, most of the times they're just themselves speaking or deciding on themselves without seeking input from civil society or from the technical community, though those members of the parliament are not experts in all the domains or in all the areas. So my point would be, we need to strengthen civil society groups as well as the other stakeholder groups so that we all can take part into discussions and decisions and decision-making. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arsene. That was very good from you. Very nice. Really, you summed up everything. Thank you very much for your presentation. I know that we have taken some precious time from you, and thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you. So we have Chris is saying, the governments in Africa in general have an idea of multi-stakeholder model or even understand bottom-up processes. Absolutely, Chris is right. So what we can suggest, my personal opinion, we could suggest some capacity building programs, for example, for government members. This is just from the back of my mind, so from the top of my mind, sorry. Okay, now let's move to the second part of our webinar, which is on access and education. And third part, sorry, on access and education, and we would like to have the floor for Wisdom Donkor. He is from Ghana, and he is a very, very humble person, but he is an IGF, he is from the IGF MAG. So, Mariam, if you could give the floor to Wisdom. Thank you.
Hi, Wisdom. Please go ahead and speak. Thank you. Hi, Wisdom, we can't hear you. Can you please speak out? Thank you.
Hello.
May I please ask everyone who is not speaking at this moment to please mute your microphone. If you're on the audio bridge, you can mute your phone with star six, mute and unmute yourself with star six. And if you're in the Adobe Connect room, please use the mic icon and mute yourself. Thank you very much.
Please, everyone not on the mic, not speaking right now, please mute your microphone. And let's give the floor to Wisdom. Wisdom, are you ready?
How is done? Do you want us to dial out to you or do you want to dial into the meeting? If you do want that, please private message me your phone number and I can arrange for dial out. Thank you very much.
Okay, so Mariam, I suggest that we call Onika until we figure out Wisdom's connection, okay? Onika, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfect. Thank you. Can we have Onika's presentation?
Yes, Ines, we've got a couple of presentations here. If you let me know which one to upload, I'll be happy to do that.
Onika's presentation is on affordability.
Yes, that's coming up now. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Excellent. Great. Thanks, everyone. So I'm just going to give you a top-level overview of the affordability report from 2017 and just do a zero-in on the Africa regional report specifically. So, it's, you know, affordability report comes out once annually. It's a global report that looks at 158 countries in the developing world and assesses them on affordability. Some of you may be aware that the UN under the SDGs has a guideline for internet access to affordable internet, which is 5% for half a gig of data at no more than set of average monthly GNI purchases.
Okay.
So we actually work with different countries and look at their data to see how far they are from achieving this goal. So, okay, next slide, please. So the Alliance for Affordable Internet is basically a multi-stakeholder coalition. Slide number two. That we actually work through. We are basically the broadest technology sector alliance that's working precisely on driving down the price of broadband by focusing on policy and regulatory frameworks to ensure affordability. The affordability report itself for 2017 is part of, as I've mentioned, is part of an annual report that tracks policy and regulation in terms of the kind of progress that it's making towards affordable access. And it's really based on, you know, looking at 58 low and middle income countries. So not all the countries will be there. It's mostly the low and middle income countries that we focus on, about 58 of those. And, you know, we do this in order to look at what kind of policies and regulations are in place that can help ensure affordability. In terms of the global picture, so some of the policies that we look at are policies such as public access, infrastructure sharing, efficiency of use of spectrum, deployment of universal service access funds, and broadband plans. And what we found in the 2017 study is that only about 41% of the countries that we reviewed have outdated plans, and this is really critical and in terms of just where all of us come in, because broadband plans are really where countries set the targets and the strategy and, you know, time-bound targets of how much broadband penetration they want to achieve. There's not going to be a DNS market economy or environment without people actually having access to, you know, high quality and affordable access to the internet. So while it may not necessarily be an issue that I can specifically focus it on, it's really an issue that's very critical to that overall internet and ecosystem in terms of participation, especially in this region. Public access is also one that we find that countries that score well tend and have better accessibility tend to have opportunities for public access as well. And infrastructure sharing, what we are seeing also is new opportunities, not just having, you know, in Africa, most of you know that most of the time you have mobile operators who will say that they can't go to a particular village because there's only 2,000 people and it's therefore not commercially viable for them to service or put up a tower in there. So having infrastructure sharing policy regulation actually helps the government come in and partner with private sector companies in order to actually sometimes force them to share infrastructure. And now we are seeing that sharing happening beyond just the telco sector to include, for example, if you are building a new neighborhood and you are building trenching in order to lay down pipes for water, to also lay down fiber at the same time. So we see cross utility infrastructure sharing that reduces the cost, because about more than 80% of cost for deployment of broadband is actually on the trenches. So if you can imagine, if we could eliminate some of the, reduce some of that significantly. So in terms of the affordability target, we launched a new target last year called the 1-for-2 affordability target. If you could just move
you have
to
just
slide
1 minute
slide
remaining
to take needed action, that would be helpful. So the 1-for-2 target, basically we look at affordability from the point of view of being in a continent with predominantly poor and low-income people. That 5% really is not going to get us to meet the target by 2020, not even by 2030 or 2040, but rather a 1-for-2 target begins to get us to a meaningful experience of utility of internet by focusing on 2% average monthly GNI for 1 gig of data average per person. The other challenge that we are seeing that continues to emerge and grow, sadly, is the gender digital divide that's taking place in the sector. So both in terms of affordability, women will say that the number one reason they are not online.
You have no call credit in your MTN account. Please recharge.
That also talks about how women, you know, opt out because of harassment and other issues. Where do we come in here? You know, working within ICANN, there is an opportunity to continuously advocate for mainstreaming of gender in ICT policies, including in the DNS environment. And there is a group known as DNS Women that, you know, do that quite well. I'm going to skip over to the Africa specifically, the Africa internet, African internet in Africa. 25% of the nation is currently online based on ITU statistics from 2016. And 16% of broadband penetration is via mobile, and 23% gender gap exists. What I'm going to leave you with is that if we're talking about 25% of our population being online, we are talking about a super, super minority in our region, and therefore we cannot ignore issues of access and affordability in this region. Otherwise, even, you know, whether we are talking about ICANN, DNS, whatever, we're just really talking about the, you know, elite in our continent, quite honestly. So it's really critical that as we work in the different areas that we work in, we continuously find an opportunity to ask the necessary questions around access and affordability, so we tune everyone along, and this can truly be a win-win utility for all of the stakeholders that are engaged, both government as well as private sector and civil society, most importantly.
Thank you.
So I will leave it there. I'm willing to share the links to the full report if you'd like to take a little bit more time to look at that. There's also data, raw data from each of the countries that were studied that you are welcome to also download from our website and play around with it to see and compare how each country compares to another. So just in conclusion, you know, we are still quite far in terms of having access to affordable internet, and this is really a great opportunity we are missing to help people transform their lives. And I will just leave you with a story of a young boy from a township in South Africa who uses public Wi-Fi in order to access the internet at all hours, late hours, whatever. And when he was asked why it's so important for him to be online, his response was that when he is online, he no longer lives in a shack. So we have an opportunity here to really help people like that young boy to transform their lives. That young boy is very far from understanding, you know, some of the policy work we are doing at the ICANN level, but hopefully by giving him access at a young age and giving him an opportunity to participate in the digital economy, eventually he may be the future of ICANN. Thank you very much. And, you know, the last slide has my email as well as Twitter handle. So if you'd like for me to send you a few more of the reports that we've worked on around affordability as well as women's rights online, I'd be happy to do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anika. It was really interesting, and I was really looking forward to this presentation on affordability, because we can talk about access and infrastructure and implementation of ICTs in education, but if people cannot afford to get online, there it's useless. And really, it's kind of shocking for me to see those numbers. So thank you, really. Thank you very much for those very informative numbers and this report. If there are no questions right now, can we call Wisdom?
Yes, Wisdom is here.
Yeah, we hear you, Wisdom. Welcome. Thank you.
Can I go on?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Wisdom. I live in Ghana. And thank you, Olika, for this impressive report. And I'm just going to add up to what Olika. Basically, I'm going to talk in the case of Ghana and try to bring out all the issues, what we are doing in Ghana, and then some of the issues and challenges we are facing. And in Ghana, we have two sectors that regulate both the telecom and the ICT sector. We have one which is the National Communication Authority that regulates the telecom sector, and then we have the National Information Technology Agency where I work that regulates the ICT sector. That more or less also speaks to the internet issues and all that. Let's see where Ghana begins from and then where we are today, and then I'll talk a little bit about the mobile penetration rate in Ghana, and then I'll talk about some issues that we're facing in Ghana, and then the way forward. Started the whole process in 2008, where we started with the policy, taking into consideration the MDGs, and where we formulated our policy from. What we did was to look at two things, which is e-government network infrastructure. So we kind of have to look at the whole infrastructure and how to address it. So that's what we did. And then we look at the application aspect of it. So with the infrastructure part, what the government kind of did was to put in place the infrastructure, which the government kind of was able to lay a fiber cable throughout the whole country, trying to connect all government institutions onto one platform, which is National Data Center. And then this has been done. And then what we are also planning to do moving forward is to try to connect three countries, our surrounding countries, which is Cote d'Ivoire, Togo, and then Burkina Faso. So I think these plans are in process. So what we actually did with all this connectivity was to just to create that enabling environment for citizens to be able to engage government in the work that government does. So apart from that, putting in place the infrastructure, the next thing was to look at the e-application aspect of it. What are some of the things that citizens need for them to be able to do business with government, do their daily work and all that. So basically that is what we are doing now, putting the applications on top of the infrastructure that government has provided. And then government is also looking at how to engage the private sector to also leverage on the platform. And then this, one way or the other, has opened up to open up the telecom sector, areas where the telecom operators don't even want to go, especially taking the rural communities, are beginning to extend some of their services to these areas because government was able to lay the fiber cable throughout the whole country. So all that they need to do is to leverage on that infrastructure. Another aspect of it is electricity that looks like we are all ignoring, because we can't talk about accessibility without talking about electricity. So what government also did was to try to extend electricity to every part of the country, and I think almost 90% 90% of that has been achieved. The remaining 10%, they are still working on it to try to connect every part of the country to electricity. That will also help the extension of all this internet access that we are all talking about. Another part of it is also the clean energy. We also need to start talking about clean energy and the solar systems and all that. We also help in this regard. That is just about the ICT sector creating the enabling environment. Now let me come to the mobile sector, which is being regulated by the telecom industry. So looking at that, I'm going to give some figures from 2015, and then I'll also bring out some figures in this 2017. And then we'll see the difference how the government is performing, or the telecom sector is performing, or also helping the ICT sector. The mobile phone penetration rate, as such, 2015 rose up to 127.63% after the country voice subscriber base climbed to over 35 million in December. That is 2015, from 34 million registered in previous months in that year. Increase is far above earlier projections in 2015 by the telecommunication industry. The mobile penetration around 70% by the use of 2015. So according to the latest report that I've seen from the NCA at that time, so the telecommunication regulator, which is the National Communication Authority, the mobile subscriber base exceeded from 34,400,000 153 in November last year, November 2015, to 35,000,000 384, representing a mobile voice penetration rate of 127.63% at that time. So the NCA, mobile voice, the NCA, which is the telecommunication authority, mobile voice, the mobile data market share trend for December 2015 also reported the number of mobile data subscribers rose from about 17.73 million to 18.03 million. So an access rate of 55.74%. So the main catalyst for the rise in this number of people with access to mobile phones and internet users has been attributed to the recent push for telecommunication companies to expand their network coverage, the availability of cheap smartphones and all that. And all this will achieve because of the labeling environment that has been created for them. So now let's look at the 2017 figures. So I'll just use that of the 2017. So the total number of mobile voice subscription was 37,136,600. So this represents a percentage of about of 1.94% from June 2017. So 17 figures of 36,840,847. So the total penetration rate for the month and under review was 130.35%. So let's look at the data subscription, which is more or less like used for the internet and all that. So the mobile data figure for July 2017, at the end of July 2017, so the total subscription of mobile data in the country was 23,103,460. So with a penetration rate of about 77.58%. So we've seen a fast increase in the mobile telecom sector, and then there are also kind of bridges and a shortfall and gap within the ICT sector, and then they are helping and all that. So mobile technology is seen as a game changer and lifeline for the the West Africa, not Ghana alone, the West African nations, with both urban and rural youth embracing the new technology for their banking and other telephony services. So we realize that even with this, our grandmothers and grandfathers are all using a mobile phone to transact business, the mobile money that we all talking about, and all that. If you go to Kenya, it's M-Pesa also. So the Ghana Telecom players are set to operate against the backdrop of high cost. I think is something in the African region that we need to address. And then operational pressures, but they benefit from the support of us, the regulator framework, and then the loose market that we have within the country. So looking at some of the issues.
Thank you very much, Wisdom. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'll just run out briefly.
Wisdom, thank you very much. We are running out of time. It's almost done. So thank you very much. So we can retain that building partnerships with the private sector, focusing on infrastructure, building businesses, and also the mobile business on the mobile devices and mobile network. Thank you very much, Wisdom. So we will move, if possible. Mariam, can we move to the next presentation on ICT implementation in education? And then we will go back to questions. Thank you. Thank you very much again, Wisdom.
Welcome.
Okay, so everyone, since our third and last part was about access and education, I had Wisdom who talked about access and infrastructure and mobile and building partnerships with the private sector, and we had Anika talking about affordability. So now
just
I'll be talking
remaining.
About the pathways of to achieving SDGs through education. So I will move to the next slide rapidly. So first, I would say creating a learning generation. This is the first step we should go through in our African context. Because education for the new global reality
The report says that by 2050, half of today's jobs will be replaced by technology. New jobs will demand different and higher level skills, and the population of Africa will double to 2 billion, half of them will be young people. So unless education systems can develop and respond, we will have a major shortage of skilled workers. We have up to a quarter of the population could still live in extreme poverty, and we will have income inequality. It will increase. So those with high skills, capacity to adapt to change, and ability to access to technology are the ones that we will expect from them an even greater share of earnings. So the second phase we should go through in Africa, I am suggesting we should have a transformation in education to achieve those SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, because technologies or ICTs restore curiosity to education. I am a teacher myself, so I have been implementing technologies in education for years, and I have been training teachers to use them. So technologies, they bring sound and movement to static textbook lessons. They help overcome physical and geographical barriers and facilitate communication. They eliminate artificial boundaries between schools and the outside world, and they promote an environment of global citizenship so that our students, they feel as if they were students of the world, not only students of Tunisia or Ghana or South Africa, etc. On SDGs, we have education lifts people out of poverty. It increases equality and social cohesion and improves health, because we had some reports even that education cut by half the mortality rate among women in Africa. Education empowers women by facilitating access to information about rights and services. It increases confidence. It enables participation in decision-making and accountability. And better education increases people's awareness and commitment to conservation and climate change. So my recommendations is first raise public awareness. So because implementing ICTs for ICT's sake without having this public aware of their importance is absolutely useless and a waste of time. We should involve the youth through youth organizations and local organizations. We must enlarge the stakeholder discussion in local, regional, and international IGFs. We must lay the policy foundation. We must encourage African young people and African activists to write down policy reports, policy comments, public comments, etc., to propose drafts to the parliaments of the countries, and to invest in education as a value chain. Yolanda is saying youth. Yes, absolutely. So what I am suggesting for ICT implementation in education, I try to make it as short as possible. So we can still have 5 minutes for your questions, because we started a bit later. And the floor is yours. So if you would like to speak, to ask a question, to add a comment, a suggestion, anything, just raise your hand and the floor is yours. Thank you very much for attending. I'm very proud of this nice number of people attending at this quite late hour for some people. Thank you very much again. Feel free to ask your questions and write down your suggestions. Thank you. There is Adam Ahmed who is asking for a dial-out, and sent me his number, so I'll give it to Mariam. There's a question for Wisdom from,
okay.
Okay. asking, with all the issues of access, there are still issues that need urgent attention. 1, content. 2, gender. 3, education and capacity building. What do you think?
Yes. So I just posted that question. I say this because with the issues of access, gender, content, and all that, we are still lagging behind. When you take content, for example, we are getting all the infrastructure in place, forgetting that we need content to actually drive the whole access process. For example, when you take education, for example, you provide the educational sector with all the infrastructure they need to access the internet, but then they don't have the resources, they don't have the content that students and all that can use. Another one with the gender inequality. There are still issues in our rural communities where if you take our girl child as example, our community, parents don't want their girl child to even go to school, thinking that when the girl grows up, maybe someone or a man will just come and marry the girl and then take the girl away and all that. These are all some of the issues that is still pending in our rural communities, even our urban communities that we still need to address. When it comes to education, I think we are not doing enough to take the whole internet governance issues to education. We need to start talking to policy makers to start considering internet governance as part of our curriculum, so that these same people, when they come out from school, they are the same people that will be fed into the various sectors, and then these are the people that will also drive forward the issues of internet governance and then also try to solve some of these problems. We also need to build capacity of, let's say, education, our teachers and all that, the trainers of trainers and all that. We need to consider these things all, and then when we begin to do these things, I think we'll begin to eliminate the issues of accessibility, education, and all that. So, and another aspect is that there is a lack of data. There is not enough data to do accurate reporting of what is going on. So we have to also begin to start looking into the issues of open data, to start making our government open up data for us to use to critique what they are doing and also help government in their policy implementation and all that. So this is what I think on top of my mind that we should also try to look into and then start addressing.
Thank you very much, Wisdom. Indeed, we do have a problem of data in Africa. We're always complaining about that we don't have the right numbers in order to assess solutions to our situation, indeed. I will quickly read Anika's comments. She says, Mariam, those indeed are the demand side issues, and with regards to content, in the context of Africa, this has to be relevant content, including local language, absolutely. We have to tackle these simultaneously because they are interdependent. Thank you, Anika. Hussam is saying, maybe we should add the conversion of the role of teacher to a facilitator. Absolutely, I agree with you. I'm a teacher, and I think that the teacher should not be like the fountain of all knowledge. He says, more than instructor, and endorse the role of civil society to make lobbying in order to put pressure on government to make investment in education. Absolutely, Hussam. The civil society can make a lot of difference in countries where the climate is rather democratic, but unfortunately, you know that the context in Africa, not all countries have this democracy and this respect of civil society. Yolanda, She said, I missed the session on access, but I hope it was emphasized that connecting the next billion presents challenges beyond just education and mere access. The unconnected are beset by poverty and real socio-economic issues. Access to the internet and ICT should be a benefit, because what is internet access to someone who is living below the poverty line? Absolutely, Yolanda. So maybe also in some countries in Africa, this is also what we are trying, what we are fighting for also in our countries in Africa. Sometimes we're talking about internet governance issues, and we have people in the audience, they would tell us, what are you talking about? We have really a problem of poverty here. Maybe internet is not that important in some countries and internet governance issues. Yes, thank you very much. So thank you very much, everyone, for your feedback. If there are any other questions, anything, before we close the call? If so, raise your hand or write a comment. If not, I would like to thank you all, those who attended today tonight with us. This call, it was a great opportunity for us to talk about NCUC, introducing NCUC, how to get involved, to talk about the African voices in ICANN, to talk about access and education, and also to talk about affordability and ICT implementation in education and SDGs. So thank you very much, everyone. I would like to thank Mariam, who did a great job with us tonight after a trip back from Washington, D.C. So thank you very much, and let's adjourn this call. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Thank you so much, everyone, for attending the call. Good night, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Darren, please, you may disconnect all lines and stop the recording. Thank you very much for your time today. Goodbye.